Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yesterday was my 48th baptismal birthday. I was born on a Sunday morning. My father, a Lutheran pastor, dropped my mother off at the hospital early in the morning, went and preached for three services, came back, and I had arrived. And 2 weeks later, after a call to my grandpa, I came to church, and my parents placed me in my grandfather's arms, who was also a Lutheran pastor, and my grandfather brought me to Jesus in the waters of holy baptism through the powerful word joined with water in baptism. My parents and my grandfather brought me to Jesus, Jesus united me with himself, and through him he united me with the Heavenly Father. I was blind and in the bondage of sin. Those who communed with Jesus already, my parents, my grandparents, they brought me to Jesus, and Jesus did the rest. Our reading highlights this very basic and biblical pattern for church growth. Family and friends who commune with Christ bring others to where Jesus is present so that he might unite himself to them also. We see in our reading this pattern of bringing people to where Jesus is, and then Jesus taking it from there by bringing people to faith in him. It starts with John the Baptist's announcement to a couple of disciples that were following him, namely following John as a prophet who was announcing the Messiah. He points those two disciples, one of whom was Andrew, to Jesus, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Then, after that, we see that you have Andrew, one of those two who had followed Jesus and actually, through the testimony of Jesus, come to understand that Jesus was not just another wise guy, he was not just another prophet, but he was none other than the Lamb of God who had come into this world to deliver people from their sin through his own sacrificial death as the Lamb of God. He then goes and gets his brother Simon and brings him to where Jesus is so that Jesus might do the same with him, namely with Simon, bring him into a relationship with himself and through him with the Heavenly Father. Once again, with Simon, Jesus took it from there. Andrew simply brought him to where Jesus was. Jesus took it from there with Simon, and his changed status as a follower, a believer in Jesus Christ, is brought out in our text with the change of his name from Simon to Cephas, or Peter, the rock. Pastors especially feel the responsibility, the weight, even pressure, that more people need to be converted. We're constantly hearing of that. Certainly, right now in our synod, we have the ablaze effort that is going on. We look too often, though, to our own personality or to our abilities as pastors for the key to this increase in conversion. Our text, however, points us not to ourselves, to our abilities, to our winsome personalities for church growth, but points us to Jesus as the author and perfecter of faith. He brought him to Jesus. That's the pattern our text brings out. In John the Baptist's action, in Andrew's action, in the action of Philip, which follows immediately after these verses in John chapter 1, where Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus, and Nathanael, the doubter, is brought to faith by Jesus, to faith in Jesus, you have this pattern, this true, faithful, biblical pattern of church growth. He brought him to Jesus, and then Jesus brings him to faith. What we cannot do in breaking sin's slavery, because we are in bondage to sin, in bringing sight because we are blinded by sin, Jesus can and he does do. We see it in our text, and we see it in all of the weeks, months, and years of his ministry that follow, and we see it as he continues his ministry in the life of the church for the centuries that followed these first apostles being called. We have here, as John says later in our text, what we cannot do, Jesus does. Actually, he records it a couple of chapters later in his gospel, where Jesus says, John chapter 8, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And with those words, Jesus is emphasizing a basic pattern. We cannot free ourselves or even others, but Jesus can free us and does. It is Jesus who united people with faith in himself, or in faith with himself, but he does use, as we know, pastors, he uses parishioners, his children, in the process. For people bring their family and friends in the future to you as future pastors, and you bring them to where Jesus is present. And where is Jesus today? He's there in the word and water of holy baptism, even as we saw it just this past Wednesday with three baptisms, as those parents and grandparents brought these children to Jesus, and Jesus brought them to himself and to the Heavenly Father. He is here as he speaks faithfully through his word from lectern and pulpit, through the reading and proclamation of the scriptures. Jesus is speaking to us. He is, even as he was inviting those early disciples, come and see, and as he spoke, he kindled within them faith. Just as those Emmaus disciples had said, "Did our hearts not burn within us?" So Christ's word continues to kindle faith and to nurture and inflame and continue to add fuel to that faith, that life in Jesus Christ through his word. He not only suckles us, but he matures us through that word. He is also there, just as he is at each altar where Christ's sacrament is faithfully offered through his very body and blood with this bread and wine. Through these means, the Lamb of God unites us with his very death that atones for all sin, his resurrection that overcomes death itself. Do pastors have a great responsibility? Yes, but not to convert people. Our responsibility is to proclaim the word of God and to administer the sacraments faithfully in order that Jesus be present, for he will draw people through these means unto himself, to faith in him. Does the church have a great responsibility? Individual Christians in the pews? Yes, but not to convert people. Like John, like Andrew and Philip, the whole church is to issue that invitation that we see Jesus issuing in our text. Come and see. To bring people to where Jesus is present, where he speaks through the proclaimed and read word, where he is present as the sacraments are celebrated, so that he may join these sinners unto himself, even as he has joined us to himself. My parents put me in my grandfather's arms. My grandfather brought me to Jesus, and Jesus did the rest. And the pattern continues, for I brought my children to Jesus, and Jesus brought them to himself. When we love people as Jesus loves us, we bring them to where Jesus is present and where he continues to do his miraculous work of bringing sinners in bondage into the freedom of his forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.